around the world by way of clear digital audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
Communication Network, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, hopefully this afternoon they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitley from the Institute of the Constitution as we talk about America's Constitution. Now, you know, men down through the ages have always wanted to be free. But there was always a ruler of some sort, and certainly the idea that democracy would work. Democracy certainly didn't work in ancient Greece, and it didn't work in ancient Rome, and it was only a matter of time before this Roman Republic, and it wasn't really a republic at all. It was simply, you know, based upon democratic concepts. But before it succumbed and was replaced by the Roman Empire about 25, 26 BC before the birth of Christ. So, you know, democracies have always been spectacles of turmoil and contention. They usually shorten their lives as they are violent in their deaths. That's certainly what James Madison had said in the 10th of the Federalist Papers. And so the last thing that the American founders wanted was a democracy. So if our founders didn't want a democracy, why are we fighting over in Iraq to establish a democracy? And why are we trying to establish a democracy in Afghanistan and Iran and throughout the rest of the world? Well, you must understand that really for thousands of years, there have been other organizations, secret societies, who are dedicated to creation of a world democracy. And if you doubt that, you need to read The Secret Destiny of America, written by Manly P. Hall. We carry that book among our special list for researchers. But it's a very, very important book because it was written in 1944 and it foreshadowed everything going on today. It was written by a man who was given hundreds of thousands of dollars every year during the heart of the Depression, which would correspond to, you know, $20 or $30 million a day in today's funds to travel the earth to ferret out the history of all of the secret societies and, of course, their desire to create this one-world democratic government. And by that, they really mean, of course, a government ruled by a small ruling elite, because that's the way the democracies always end up. And that was exactly what was intended. The Secret Destiny of America is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But with that as a background, you see, there have always been two forces in America. There have been those people who wanted to be free and who established our republic based upon basic Christian principles. And that basic Christian principle is man is corrupt and can never be trusted with power. And the only way men will ever be free is to limit the power of government over their lives. So limit the power of the central government and have matters dealing with life, liberty, and property dealt with at the state level. And that was the miracle of America, that and the checks and balances and the balances as checks and the limitation placed upon the power of government over the lives of the people. And every one of our states was to be a republic, not a democracy. David Whitley, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for having me on your program. It's an honor to be with people who care about their country, who care about what's going on and the violations of our constitutional republic that, oh my, you just, it's breathtaking what they're doing in Washington, D.C. I was down there this morning actually speaking to a group of people that work with Family Research Council, and many of the battles that they're fighting against, the hate crimes legislation and so on, are just egregious things that we shouldn't even have to be dealing with, because these were never to be the area of the federal government making any decisions in these areas.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Blackwork and purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
The digestive tract, a natural waste factory built within all of our bodies. Roughly 25 feet of tunnels designed to absorb nutrition and then dispel the waste. But what happens when the waste gets clogged up? More than 4 million Americans have frequent constipation, accounting for 2.5 million physician visits a year. Now there's AlloCleanse, an all-natural formula based on herbs and safe enzymes. AlloCleanse gently sweeps the entire digestive tract and supports comfortable, regular bathroom habits. You'll feel lighter, and you'll feel clean inside. And when you remove the waste buildup with AlloCleanse, you'll have more energy. Energy to use on other things, besides worrying about constipation.
For a risk-free trial of AlloCleanse, call 1-800-890-3525. Call in now to find out how you can get two free gifts with your order. Try AlloCleanse risk-free by calling 1-800-890-3525. That's 1-800-890-3525.
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
From there.
Well, yes, as I was sharing, I was talking with folks that are active in lobbying on Capitol Hill, and even they, who are doing some right and proper things, lack a real solid understanding of our founders' worldview of law and government, which was a biblical worldview, in spite of the fact that we would say some of our founders are probably not Orthodox Christians, or, best to our knowledge, they never became Orthodox Christians. Nonetheless, when it came to their philosophy of government, their understanding of what government was about, they had a biblical worldview that all men are sinners, and therefore no one is to be trusted with power. And so they've structured a very wise balance between not only three branches of government, which many people have heard about, but also four levels of government: the federal government, the state government, and then the county government and the local, which would be town or township, depending on areas of the country. And the amendments we're going to speak about tonight have to do with the federal government's limited and very restricted area. In other words, anything, our founders understood this, anything that the states can do, they ought to do. The only thing the federal government should do is that which the states cannot do on their own, such as declare war. You know, you need all the states together to do that, or decide policies regarding tariffs, import and export, and things that are related to trade with foreign nations, or treaties that may be formed with foreign nations. All those things that must be on a federal level are the only things that the federal government should be doing. And so they carefully crafted a constitution that would restrict them, and boy, there was a hue and cry even then, because many of the patriots in our land, Patrick Henry, for example, said that, wait a minute, it hasn't gone far enough. You haven't restricted enough. You haven't given us a Bill of Rights by which our God-given rights are clearly secured. And so those that ratified the Constitution very shortly thereafter proposed in the first 10 amendments, which are the Bill of Rights, which further, you study them, they further restricted the reach of the federal government, what the federal government could do. As we've shared in this series, subsequent to those first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, the following 17 amendments, with a few exceptions, each of those amendments actually expands the federal power of the centralized government, completely in the opposite purpose and design of our founders. For example, today we'll talk about the 19th Amendment. The 18th Amendment verse that prohibited the production and distribution of alcohol, and it gave the federal government authority over an area that I believe should have been left to local law enforcement, or at the best, states should have handled this matter. Now, the issue, when you think about it, when you study some of the history of what took place, Prohibition movement, rooted in the temperance movement, when it was in the temperance phase, was right. They're warning people exactly what Scripture says, that wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, whoever is led astray by them is not wise. That's Proverbs 20, verse 1, and a few chapters later in 23, verse 29, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints, who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes, those who linger long at wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. And so, yes, there should be some oversight or some control over what's happening in terms of the production and distribution of alcohol, but that's not something that the federal government has to do. The states can do it, and actually the states do. Some states, such as Pennsylvania, I understand, still currently completely controls the sale of alcohol. You can only buy alcohol in the state of Pennsylvania, at least it was this way last I knew, in state liquor stores. That is, the state basically runs these stores and controls these stores, and all the sale of liquor is under the direct control of the state. Well, that's one option. May or may not be the best, but it certainly can be done effectively on the state level and even on the local level. There's towns that have chosen to be dry. That is, there's no sale of alcohol within those towns because they recognize the dangers of alcohol. You know, the small town here in Maryland that is completely dry. Of course, you can travel a few miles down the road and buy all the alcohol you want, but this is something that is best left for the local government level or the state government level. There was no need for the federal government to get involved. And so when the temperance movement set it as their goal to take it to the federal level, I believe they have some evil enemies who are intent on destroying our constitutional republic, who help them on their way and helped get the 18th Amendment through in 1919.
And I think what people have to understand is once you made it a federal crime, then you had to have a federal police force, to fight the federal crime. And then, of course, we got the FBI and we got in the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and so now you begin to establish a federal bureaucracy to overcome an evil, and yet, of course, that federal bureaucracy itself can become evil, as we saw at Waco, where the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms goes in and starts a battle that ends up killing all these people. And I will tell you that some of them were actually killed by Special Forces units that went in later on, because both the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had actually muffed the deal. And I talked to people who actually saw the people, talked to people who had actually seen the people shot up and killed. And we actually taped my interview with a woman who had been there when somebody had called the members of the family to tell them about that. But when you've got this massive federal police force, you know, the idea of temperance was wonderful. I mean, certainly we all agree that excessive alcohol is wrong. We should not be having people who are drunkards. But that is not a function of the federal government, because whenever you give the federal government power, eventually that power will be misused. And that's why they passed the 9th and the 10th Amendment, to restrict the power of the federal authority. Now, if we're going to have corruption, let's have it on the state or local level. But, of course, once you have it at the federal level, there is no way to fight it. And when you try to fight it on your own, they'll come after you with all the power that they have. At least at the state or local level, you have a much better chance of getting a justice than you do in the federal courts today.
And that's a very important point, that in our founders' design, the police forces, there was to be no federal police force, you know, such as the FBI or BATF, or these days, I guess, the EPA has their police force, the IRS has their police. There's all these federalized police forces, and our founders would never have tolerated that. Why? They understood that the police can be an extremely abusive and dangerous power, that it is to be on the lowest level of government, so that it is most directly accountable to the people. And therefore, their structure for in terms of police is that the highest law enforcement officer is an elected person, the sheriff of each county. Way down there on the very local level, where the people have a direct influence as to who becomes the sheriff of their county, and you know, they may know that individual and be able to talk to them on the ball field when their boys are playing baseball or whatever. There's a relationship there that they can help hold the local police accountable. And the whole thing that has transpired in our country is not only the federalization of police, but the abdication on the part of sheriffs, and I know McLamb does a great job on all of this area, but the abdication of sheriffs of this role. The sheriff basically has to surrender his powers to the FBI or BATF or any of these other federal agencies to come into his county and do whatever they're going to do, or the IRS to seize someone's property, or all these things. A good sheriff would understand that he is to resist tyranny, even if it's tyranny from the federal government. He's not to permit that, because it's a crime for the federal government to be violating the law and stealing people's property and killing and so on. But our founders knew you don't allow that to happen on the federal level. The federal is not to have any police powers. That's way down on the local level, so that the people have a direct check on the power of the police, because they knew from their experiences with the European system, with Britain, as well as watching the other European countries, that you get a powerful police force that's answerable only to the top of the structure, only to the king or parliament or whatever. That is an extremely dangerous situation, and that police power is going to become very abusive, because they knew that if you grant someone power without a direct check on their power, that power will ultimately be abused. As someone has said wisely, I believe, that tyranny always expands to the point at which it meets resistance. That is, if there's no resistance, the tyrant takes more power and more power and more power until eventually he meets some resistance. And our founders wanted that resistance to be very upfront, very close to the people. So this 18th Amendment, I believe, was a disaster. There's question about whether it was actually enforced, or if there was favorites that kind of were allowed to slip through the cracks and make enormous sums of money, like the Kennedy family. You know, they made enormous sums running rum and bootlegging and so forth. That were they allowed because they were political favorites, or, you know, all these sort of things, completely corrupt. And, you know, when you look at the history of our country, one of the first insurrections that took place was over alcohol, the Whiskey Rebellion. And there was a point at which the rebellion had to be put down. But the point was, the rebellion being put down was other states together as a federalized force helping the state in which the insurrection took place. And wherever this issue has been dealt with before, it's best dealt on the lowest level possible. And so whether the federal government was really serious about reining in alcohol or not is questionable. But what is absolutely unquestionable is the thing was a massive failure. There was plenty of alcohol available all over the country, speakeasies and so forth. If you had the right connections, no problem getting alcohol. And so this war on alcohol, and that's really what this should be called, 18th Amendment was the war on alcohol, was an abject failure. And it reminds us whenever the government goes after an issue like this on the federal level, it's an abject failure. The war on drugs,
we'll be right back in just a moment.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-8255. 1-800-799-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Amendment other than the Bill of Rights, any amendment can be repealed. I believe the 17th Amendment should be repealed, and the 16th Amendment should be repealed, and the 14th and the 15th and so on. There's a whole long list of amendments that I've got on the line for repeal, but here's the point. It has been done in the history of our country to repeal a bad amendment, and in repealing this amendment, then they restored the authority to regulate alcoholic beverages back to the states, which is where it really belonged and should never have gone to the federal level. And so, you know, the repeal is a good precedent to be reminding American people that just because it has been, the Constitution has been amended, other than the Bill of Rights, the first 10, all of the subsequent 17 amendments could potentially also be repealed. But the sad thing, as you mentioned earlier, is that although it was repealed, the bureaucracies that were established to enforce the 18th Amendment were not done away with. Why do we have a Bureau of Alcohol when it's no longer the federal government's responsibility to regulate alcoholic beverages? Why is there a Bureau of Alcohol? And actually, the IRS was created in linkage with this at that time and was actually part of that original bureaucracy that was eventually split off into its own separate bureaucracy. But whenever a new bureaucracy is founded, and it's very hard to kill it. It's like a Frankenstein monster. Once it's been created, man, even the creators themselves have a hard time putting it back in the ground. And that's the sad reality of what's happened in our land. So the BATF and the IRS still went on in spite of the 18th Amendment being repealed by the 21st Amendment. The angle that those bureaucracies, and I guess you have to realize this is part of human nature, which is why our founders structured the checks and balances and the levels, the four levels of government as they did. Human nature is going to want self-preservation above all things, and that's true of a bureaucrat. What does a bureaucrat serving in the government service want more than anything? Does he want to serve the people? No, he wants to preserve his job and expand his salary and expand his powers. And anytime you have a bureaucracy in government, it's going to expand unless the people have a direct influence to prevent it from expanding its power, its reach, its budget, and so forth. And something like BATF ought to be completely done away with. There's no need for it at the federal level. The states can handle those issues of alcohol as well as firearms and so on. And it is it's a violation, basically, of the structure of our government to put in the hands of the states everything that can be done by the states and to put very little to nothing in the hands of the federal government whenever that is possible. But here we have a good precedent. The 21st Amendment in 1933 repealed the Prohibition Amendment, and people kind of rejoiced, but I think they rejoiced also because they thought they were getting rid of the bureaucracy. They thought they were getting rid of the evil revenueers that were going around busting up people's stills in the backwoods and things like that, and they didn't get rid of those people at all, sad to say. Well, we jumped ahead a bit, so let's back up and look at the 19th Amendment, which was in 1920, and this was the women's suffrage movement. It went almost hand in hand in many ways with the Prohibition movement. That is, many of the leaders of the Prohibition movement were women at the forefront of that. And so as they saw that enacted, they also saw this change. Oddly enough, what was promised, if you read some of the history surrounding the women's suffrage movement, what was promised is our country would be so much better if women were given the ability to vote. Oh, it would clean things up. It would make the political parties shape up and behave themselves. That our country would be so much better if women were simply given the power to vote. Well, what's the evidence since 1920? Has our country been better? Oh, no. And again, I'm not putting the blame on women in our country. I'll talk about why I believe the change was not a good one in a moment. But the promises for which people all agreed, say, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's give the right to vote to women, the promises have never been fulfilled. Why the people chose to pass the 19th Amendment, most of the motivation was thinking it's going to improve our country. Our country will be more moral and better. It did not. It did nothing of the kind. And the right to vote that the 19th Amendment secured, that cannot be denied now on the basis of sex, that was already true in some states. And again, here we have an issue. Is this a decision that should be made at the federal level, forcing all the states to comply, or is this an issue better left to the individual states? And I believe, again, it should have been left in the hands of the individual states.
Hold that thought there, David. We'll be right back.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
Hi, I'm David, and if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age, so get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-satosterols than ordinary soft palmetto, so it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-894-3418. That's 1-800-894-3418. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-894-3418.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest, David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute, how they can get a packet, and of course, how they can get in touch with you by telephone.
Yes, we have an exciting program of what we call our host kit that enables anybody around our country with any group of people to communicate these principles with a set of DVDs or VHS if a person needs that format. In 12 lectures, constitutional law professor John Eismo walks through not only the history but the biblical foundation that our founders used in establishing our constitutional republic. And then our course gives you a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, the subsequent amendments, what we're walking through here in these radio programs. But it's a simple way that anyone can help train others in an understanding of what our constitutional republic was designed to do and how it was designed to function and why we have left that foundation. And the path back requires citizens all over our land who are doing this, training others, training themselves, training their families, their churches, training everybody they possibly can in their circle of influence, so that millions of grassroots Americans can rise up and throw off the unconstitutional legislators and judges and presidents and so on who have no desire to really follow this supreme law of the land, who literally are breaking their contract with us. We the people have formed a contract with our federal government. It's called the U.S. Constitution. If we don't know this document, then the violators can get away with breaking their oath of office, breaking the promises that led us to elect them in the first place. If we do know this contract, and we do hold them accountable to this contract, we can restore our constitutional republic, because it is still the supreme law of the land. It has not been run over yet. The evil designers have plans to do so. So we encourage all of our listeners here this afternoon to get a host kit. You can call us toll-free to purchase your host kit, and our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again is 866-730-9796. And we also have a web store at our website where you could purchase it online and also purchase some other materials that would help you in understanding what it is that we are as a constitutional republic. And our online web store is at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And while you're there, by the way, you can also sign up for a free subscription to our quarterly magazine, Liberty Forum, with articles relating to various issues of what's taking place in our country today, how that relates to what our founders designed our country to be as a constitutional republic. So we encourage everyone to get a hold of a host kit. And talking to some of the people down in Washington, D.C. today was very encouraging, because some of them were saying, I know my church could use this. I know that this would help train citizens who are activists with a base in the knowledge of the law, knowing our Constitution, Declaration, and Bill of Rights. Well, when the 19th Amendment was ratified, the hope was that it was going to bring about enormous changes for good in our country, and the evidence is that it did not. And again, I mentioned that this is an issue that should have been left at the state level. It should not be the federal government forcing the states to do something that the states don't want to do. This is something that could have been handled and should have been handled on the state level. If people didn't like the structure, then they could fight for a change at their state level. But it really is not the place of the federal government to tell the individual states who will be a citizen of their state, who can vote in their state, which is what this issue is about. An example of that, which is going on today, the whole issue of amnesty. What amnesty is, if they pass a bill for amnesty for illegals, is forcing the states in our union, the 50 states of our union, to accept people as citizens and treat them as citizens that the states do not want to treat and accept as citizens. Forcing California to say, the millions of illegals within your border, you cannot treat as non-citizens, you must treat them as citizens. We, the federal government, are going to tell you to do this. That's not the place of the federal government. The federal government is not supposed to be the bully, it's not supposed to be the tyrant. It is actually, in our founders' design, the federal government is actually to be the servants of the states. The states were the creator of the federal government. They are the ones that brought together the delegates at the Constitutional Convention to bring the federal government into existence. It was designed to be the servant of the states, not the master of the states, which is what this 19th Amendment did. It forced the states to take a position that some states did not want to take. Now, in a totally different perspective, and I know I might be harshly criticized for this, but I'll step out here anyway because I believe it's a biblical principle, and that is, in marriage, God has designed each family with one head. That head is the father, the husband. The husband is the head of the wife, the father is the head of the family, and he is representing that family in public places. Therefore, I believe the head of the family, in the biblical understanding, should be the one to actually vote. I know of some neighbors that the wife votes Democrat and the husband votes Republican. But, so their two votes cancel each other out whenever they go to the polls. That's interesting. It created a disunity in a household that does not need to be there. And again, if it were restricted just to the head of household, it would be much more the responsibility of the people who are doing what's right according to God's law and leading their family that actually are the ones who are voting. The conception of the right, everyone has the right to vote, that conception really was not in our founders' thinking. And most people in America find that hard to swallow today because they've been sold a lie that everybody should vote. Well, if you allow a welfare queen to vote, what's going to happen? That welfare queen is going to vote for more money in her pocket, right? If you allow somebody who's drinking at the welfare trough to vote, they're going to vote against the public interest for everybody else. They're going to vote selfishly for their own interest. And so our founders actually restricted the elective franchise to people who are property owners, because property owners were the ones that were going to be paying the majority of the taxes, that these are the people who should be making decisions about how that tax money's spent, because it's coming out of their pockets. So it's like anybody that's not paying taxes, basically their idea was they shouldn't be voting. They shouldn't be making a decision on this, because they're benefiting and they're not putting into the system. Therefore, those who are actually paying the taxes, who have to bear the burden, should be the ones, because we know they will be the ones who are most interested in seeing the taxing and spending power of government, whether on state level or federal level, restricted to the minimum so that they do not have to be taxed to the maximum. The move that's taken place in the history of our country to expand the electric franchise to everybody under the sun, these days even illegal aliens wind up getting driver's license and usually as a result of that wind up being able to vote. And some people actually defend that position. Oh, sure, illegals, let them vote. You know, No. This is crazy. The people who should vote are the ones who are going to be paying the bill for the taxing that's going to result from that. So I think the 19th Amendment, I'm opposed to it, but I know I would find a lot of people who disagree with me vehemently on that issue. Well, the 20th Amendment was ratified in 1933, excuse me, and this dealt with presidential succession. And this is one that makes sense, one of the few of the 17 amendments following the Bill of Rights that I'd say, yeah, that one should stand, that's fine. And basically said the president and the vice president were to take office on January 20th rather than what the original Constitution had said on the 4th of March. And the reason for this change is improved transportation and improved communication made it possible for this earlier date to work in the early period of our country, because of communication, the slow nature of communication as well as transportation, the earliest that made sense for a new president, although elected in November, the earliest that made sense for him to take office was in March. But with the improvements in transportation technology meant that January made better sense. So this is one that I would say makes sense, because it also limits the amount of time that you have a lame duck president. And we've seen, for example, with President Clinton, what a terrible injustice can be done during his lame duck period of pardoning felons for campaign contributions and all series of things. It's better probably to restrict the time that you have a lame duck president in office there, and so this is, as well as congressmen for that matter, and so this presidential succession being altered, it was, I think, a wise decision with the 20th Amendment in 1933. Now, we've already talked about the 21st Amendment, which was also ratified in 1933, so moving on to the 22nd Amendment, which was ratified in 1951, so there's a period of quiet, so to speak, of no new amendments being ratified for almost 20 years there. And this 22nd Amendment dealt with a problem that had not arisen until FDR took office four times as president. In the original the debates for a constitutional convention, one of the suggestions that had been put forward is a two-term limit for the president. And actually, it received a lot of support. A lot of the delegates to the Constitutional Convention said, yes, it's a good idea to limit to two terms so the president could only actually serve for 8 years total. That's a good idea. but some of the delegates noticed that George Washington, the president of the convention itself, that George Washington voted against it. And most everyone expected that he would be the first president, so there was a kind of pause to say, well, maybe, you know, if George Washington's not for this two-term limit and he's going to be the first president, we all believe that, so maybe we shouldn't go for it. So they dropped it out. You can read those kind of discussions and Eliot's debates and so on. They dropped it from that, and yet when George Washington had served his second term in office, he said, that's enough for anybody. So he chose not to run for election a third time, and his restraint and his godly character was something that set a pattern for the succeeding presidents all the way up until we come to FDR, who I believe was one of the worst presidents we've ever had. And I say he was one of the worst presidents, not out of any personal animus, but just looking at his New Deal. Those New Deal measures that he put forward are nothing but socialism, or some would say they're really communism, forcing communism down the throats of America during a time when it was most vulnerable, during the time of the Great Depression. As Dr. Stan, you've probably talked about in other shows, was a New World Order move, basically, by the world financiers to drive America into the mess that we're in today. But FDR broke that tradition of two terms, and he ran for a third term, and then he ran for a fourth term, but he died within a few weeks of his fourth term in office, which I know my grandmother rejoiced, because she saw what an evil man he was. She remembers FDR as the president who stole the gold, and he did. He stole the gold from Americans, forcing it to be collectivized and put in Fort Knox, and subsequently probably been stolen from there by the One World Bankers. But so FDR broke this tradition that had been with all the presidents from Washington on down of no more than two terms. Well, those who recognized the evil that FDR did said, hey, we need to amend the Constitution and create a two-term limit for the president. No president will ever do what FDR did in his day. And so this is another amendment that I heartily agree with, especially seeing as the original convention suggested it, was actually debated and almost passed. I think that two-term limit is a good thing. Otherwise, the president may tend to gather far too much power. You know, the president has too much power already because he's violating the Constitution with executive orders and that sort of thing. There's no reason to give more than two terms to any president of these United States. Well, we come to the 23rd Amendment, ratified in 1961, and this gave the District of Columbia electors, that is, those who would be involved in electing the president. As you know, our electoral system is you don't actually vote directly for the president. Your vote is given to an elector from your state, apportioned according to the number of representatives you have in Congress, both the House of Representatives as well as senators. That's how many electors your state has. And so when you vote, if you vote for one particular candidate, you're in a sense voting for electors who are going to ultimately, in the Electoral College, vote for that same candidate. District of Columbia was excluded from this by design, by our founders. They did not want that 10 square miles of District of Columbia to be politicized. They left the control of it in the hands of Congress, directly governing and controlling it, and they did not want those who resided within the District of Columbia to be voting in presidential elections. It was too close to the seat of power. They wanted, in a sense, a buffer zone, a political free buffer zone around Washington, D.C. And yet today, that's been changed, and the hue and cry is, oh, we're not represented. Driving D.C. as I did today, and all the license plates there on the bottom, the tag of the license plate says, taxation without representation. Well, they do have the representation of the electors, but they're wanting their own representative in the House and in the Senate they would want to, and so on. Well, the point of our founders was, nobody was supposed to be a permanent resident of Washington, D.C. After all, the president was just there while he was in office. The congressmen were supposed to be part-time. The senators were supposed to be part-time. They spent most of the year in their districts back home. They would come for the sessions in Congress, but they weren't to live there. And anybody that chose to live there, that was their fault. They should live out in one of the states and, you know, basically commute in. If they chose to live within the District of Columbia, that was their choice. Therefore, not to be represented in Congress, not to be represented in the Electoral College. And yet in 1961, as we have drifted further and further away from the design of our founders of checks and balances, of protection, not allowing that the District of Columbia to be politicized, again, this is just one of those further moves away from the barriers and the safety walls that were set up by our founders. So in this day today, the District of Columbia has three electors, the same number as the least popular state, the least populous state, excuse me, you know, such as Rhode Island or so forth. They have two senators and one in the House of Representatives. So now District of Columbia, as a result of the 23rd Amendment, has three electors that are part of the Electoral College for electing the president. 3 years later, the 24th Amendment was ratified, and this is the poll tax amendment prohibiting poll taxes from being done by the states. Oftentimes in states, the poll tax is a dollar or two used to cover the cost of the elections. As you know, especially today, elections are not cheap. It's expensive to have these machines, and even if you didn't have machines for people to be there hired to do the counting and the judging, and the, you know, it's not cheap. And so to defray the cost of elections rather than taxing the taxpayers further to pay for elections is the poll tax. If you're going to vote, there is a you know, there is a cost to voting, and this was struck down.
Well, David, we're just about out of time. I want you to get your telephone number out one more time.
Our phone number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796, and our website is iotconline.com.
Our terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Want to know my little secret? I have rich, delicious chocolate as much as I want every single day, and I never feel bad about it. Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea gives you real natural cocoa without any fat or sugar. Even better, Cocoa Pure is made with nutrients that keep my heart healthy, my energy levels up, and my body looking great. I'm having smooth, tasty chocolate every single day, and it's helping me stay healthier than ever. You can give yourself the gift of health by calling for a bottle of Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea. The only thing better than chocolate is healthy chocolate. Here's how you can get a bottle of delicious Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea.
For your risk-free bottle of Cocoa Pure Chocolate Tea, call 1-800-894-3596. And if you call now, you can find out how to get a free bottle of Cocoa Pure with your order. Call 1-800-894-3596. That's 1-800-894-3596.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and we just certainly want to remind you that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you believe, as I do, that behind everything that's going on today, there are powerful secret societies that date back thousands of years, at least as far as their overall philosophy, and you'd like to get more information, remember my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk, Forbidden Secret, which comes with the syllabus of the videos or DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, and The Atlantis Connection, and The Emergence. That's Secret Mysteries, Riddles in Stone, The Atlantis Connection, and The Emergence. So they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why give us a call there as well. Then I want to mention that we're going to have our all-day seminar, our annual all-day seminar on the 28th of October. Going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We do hope that many of you from out across America can come. Dr. Garth Nicholson is confirmed he'll be there. And Carol Matriciano, Ron Brown, Michael Shaw. We're going to have lunch. If you need hotel reservations, give us a call. You've got till the 28th of September to get a reduced rate. And, of course, you're going to need reservations to come. And we need to know how many people are going to be there. 28th of October, it's a Sunday, a beautiful area, and we hope you can make it. So our number again, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're carrying things that will help you for civil defense. We're carrying the book Nuclear War Survival Skills, a very good book. And if you get that book, why, you can get the kit with it for an additional $10. It will actually tell you how to build a radiation meter. All you need is an aluminum can designed certainly under government supervision, and tells you exactly how to do it, provides everything you need. And then, of course, we carry the book, Making the Best of Basics, and, of course, the video Sheltering in Place. All things that you need to begin making preparations for what I believe are very difficult times that lie ahead. And if you haven't laid in your supply of emergency food, why? Let me suggest you do it. Why? Because more and more of our food is getting genetically engineered. Right now you can get it, not genetically engineered, but who knows where we're going to be before long. Secondly, the shortages are developed, and I'm in touch with the people who are putting this up, and it's increasingly difficult to get certain items. There are already shortages developed, and the prices are going to be going up. Don't put this off. And besides that, there are good indications we may well be at war with Iran in a relatively short period of time. And once that happens, all bets are off, because if you think the Iranians are simply going to let them attack their country and kill tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of their people, and they're not going to make any effort to retaliate, you really don't understand the mentality of the people in that part of the world. You kill my wife, we will retaliate against you. We could be seeing very serious consequences. So if you'd like a free catalog for emergency food or for the health products, which you really would need to have on hand in large amounts, if there were a nuclear attack, one of the best things that you could do would be to actually take antioxidants, and you need them in large supply, because believe me, once the structure of society breaks down, you're not going to have access to much of anything. So if you'd like to get either a free catalog, a health food catalog, or an emergency food catalog, and of course, if you don't have your big Berkey or water barrels or all the things that you need, food grinders, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, but don't put it off, you know. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. This is the time you can act. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack from within today.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase. handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
You are listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills over... looking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here. Here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, this afternoon, the views of Dr. Ed Vieira. And Dr. Vieira is a lawyer. He's a graduate of Harvard. He is, of course, specialized in, he's even had cases gone before the Supreme Court, but he is an expert on finances and certainly what's happening to our financial system. He's written a book called Pieces of Eight, which is really the history of our financial system. It's two volumes and extensively documented. The big problem today is most people do not understand our financial system. They don't understand the concept of a fiat money system, and they don't understand what happens when a fiat money system implodes, as everyone throughout history has always done, and it failed because men just aren't smart enough to make it work. And of course then what happens to the fortunes of the poor people in the country, or the middle class, and maybe even people in the upper class who are foolish enough to believe that things are never going to change. Well, I will tell you that Warren Buffett sitting on something like $40 billion in cash. Why is he sitting on $40 billion in cash? Because he knows what lies ahead, and he's going to be in tangible items, and they're not going to be in U.S. dollars, I'll tell you that. Well, Ed, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you tell us, really, your take on what's going on in the world today, and maybe you could explain what has happened to our financial system and why America really is in far more jeopardy from the policies that are being utilized here in America than we are, say, from the danger of terrorism or Osama bin Laden or President Ahmadinejad of Iran.
Well, our fundamental problem is twofold. Number one, economically, it's that our monetary and banking system is not directly tied to the free market. Under a silver or gold or a silver and gold standard, which is actually the one that this country had for decades, actually more than a century and a half, you have a direct link between the monetary unit, in that particular case gold or silver coins, and the free market. And there are market controls and limitations on the ability to generate new money. You have to dig gold and silver from the ground. That requires labor. It requires capital. Labor and capital could be used somewhere else, or it's not going to be done unless it pays in terms of the free market. It has to be refined, of course. It has to be struck into coins. So there are these natural physical and economic limitations on the ability to essentially manipulate the monetary system. When you move from a commodity-based, a free market-based system, to what we have today, essentially a fiat currency system, fiat being the Latin for let it be currency. That term began to be used many years ago as a differentiation between that kind of paper system and a market-based system. But when you move into that kind of a system, you no longer have the free market controls on the expansion of the money supply. And then, of course, the limitations become the extent to which people are essentially willing to be irresponsible in the creation of this new paper currency. So you have a natural tendency for that kind of a system to overexpand, to create more currency than the market really wants, and that, of course, has economic consequences down the road. Now, our second element is the political one, that the reason our Constitution, founding fathers, limited the ability of both the national government in Washington and the various state governments to generate paper currencies was because they had had personal experience with what happens when governments under supposedly emergency conditions, because we're talking about a situation then with the War of Independence.
Yeah, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
This is George Whitehurst Berry with the Genesis Communications Network. Welcome to our new program, Crash, Are You Ready? In the coming weeks, we will focus on alternative economics as well as alternative health and survival topics. We are now in the largest debt bubble in U.S. history. A subset of the debt bubble is the real estate bubble, and I believe we are in the beginning stages of what could be the biggest real estate crash in our nation's history. For crash updates, visit our website at HearOnOnline.com. That's HearItOnline.com. HearItOnline.com. That's HearItOnline.com.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Well, that play thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Vieira was just saying that politicians don't like to tax people. I mean, taxes are unpopular. So the politicians then, of course, have used this current monetary system to be able to actually create new money that they're able, and they're able to monetize the debts that they have. And by monetize means they create money out of virtually nothing to pay off debts. But as you do that, you destroy the value of the currency and the savings. And what people don't understand, if they're foolish enough to save money and put it in the bank, why, it goes down at, right at, you know, 2-4% a year. Right now, of course, contrary to what you're being told, I believe it's closer to 10 or 11% a year. But they can't tell the American people that, or the people who are in bonds are getting 4 or 5% and think they're doing so well, whereas Actually, they're losing 6 or 7% a year, but you pick up the story there, Ed.
Well, that's one of the elements, of course, the simple depreciation of currency. And what most people don't realize is as currency depreciates, not everybody loses. The people who have the new currency initially, when they spend it, the price level is essentially low. So they get 100 cents on the dollar, as it were. They're spending their money when prices are at the base level. Slowly but surely, as that new money percolates through society, the free market realizes that there's just more money out there than there was before, and prices start to rise. Now, they don't all rise at once. They rise here, and then they will rise there. And somewhere down the line in this process, there will be people whose prices rise faster than their incomes. And what they will see happening, therefore, is a loss of real wealth. They're spending more for the same goods and services that they're buying, and yet they're not receiving any more for the labor that they put out. So their real wealth is being diminished, and if you can follow that trail back, and it's extremely complicated to do it, but in principle, if you could follow it back, their real wealth is being sucked away by the parties at the beginning of the chain who are generating the new money, and of course that's the government and the central banking system. So it's a means for surreptitiously taxing people. So in fact, what happens is essentially the same in principle as a tax, except it's done in this backhanded manner so that people don't realize what's happening to them. Fundamentally, it's a kind of vicious taxation without representation, especially because a great deal of it is passed off to the future, as I said before, through the monetization of governmental debt. The government generates some new bonds. The banks buy them with new currency. The government spends that currency. It redistributes the wealth to itself from society. And then sometime in the future, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years from now, some group of taxpayers have to make good on those bonds, and of course they had nothing to say about the initial generation of those bonds or the monetization of debt. So overall, it's a pretty vicious system that not one person in 1,000 or 10,000 or maybe 100,000 really understands, and that's what I think is the worst part of it, that in a representative government, we are not being told, most Americans certainly are not being told, they can't find out for themselves from the schools, what's happening to them through this system. And when inflation, that is price increases, occur, the government representatives will always blame somebody else. They'll blame the labor unions, or they'll blame the corporations, or they'll blame gold speculators in Switzerland. They'll find someone else to blame other than Congress and the Federal Reserve. Now, there's one other element in this that is probably the most dangerous of all. Redistribution of wealth is bad enough, but you can go on a long time redistributing wealth from one segment of society to another without destroying the social economic structure. A great deal of what the banks do in expanding the money supply is not connected to the government. Remember, most of the banks in the Federal Reserve System are private banks. These are not governmental institutions. They're not part of the Treasury. They're private banks. They're out there trying to make profits. And they are not loaning all of this new money to the federal government. A great deal of it is being loaned into the industrial financial sector. The difficulty with that is that once again the market is being deceived. As new money is being generated and loaned into the financial and industrial sector, the market isn't aware of this initially. And you have a redistribution of wealth, in the sense that more resources go into certain kinds of investments than would have gone there otherwise. This is what's so difficult for people to understand. It's all a matter of saying, what would have happened if, right? If that new money hadn't been generated, those resources would have been used for X purposes. When that new money is generated, they're diverted from X to Y. But Y is not really what the market would like to have done if it had control over the system. So what occurs here is increasingly a malinvestment of resources. And the reality is, paper money you can inflate infinitely. You can make as much of that as you want. But real resources, minerals, human labor, intellectual property, if you will, thinking on projects, there's only a limited amount of that at any one time. And if you malinvest that at this moment, you're going to create dislocations in the economic structure. And the longer that process goes on, the more and more malinvestment occurs, the more and more dislocations occur, and at some stage down the line, that becomes manifest. And then the market says, no, these prices are wrong, these investments are incorrect, we're no longer going to purchase these products. Businessmen suddenly discover that they've sunk a great deal of capital into cement and steel, and they can't sell what they're producing, and you have a recession, or as what occurred in the 1930s, a full-blown depression. The bottom drops out of the market, and people end up in breadline selling apples on street corners. The classic example being the depression of the 1930s, which, interestingly enough, occurred while the Federal Reserve was in operation. One has to remember, the Federal Reserve was sold to the American people in 1913 as a means scientifically to end depressions. The whole theory that was presented was they had a method for managing money that would prevent these swings of malinvestment, overinvestment, that resulted in what had been called stringencies, bank panics, and so forth and so on in the past. This was supposed to stop. Well, the Federal Reserve wasn't in business for more than, what, 15 years, 20 years, and we had the worst depression the world had ever seen. That was under a limited gold standard because the Federal Reserve banks were required to maintain a 40% reserve of gold for the currency that they put out. Now, you think 40% is a fairly large reserve. Apparently, it was insufficient at that time. Well, since that time, all gold and silver reserves have been removed from the monetary system. So now we are on, for the first time in world history, really since 1968, when finally silver was removed, and then 1971, when gold was removed from international payments. From 1971 to today, the United States and really the whole world has been, for the first time in world history, on a completely fiat currency system. And it has resulted in the generation of probably the biggest bubble of malinvestment that the world has ever seen. And we are beginning now to see some of the ripple effects as this bubble begins to reach its limits. And we've seen it in the derivatives area, we've seen it now in the real estate area, and we're going to see these kinds of crises developing here and there and more and intensifying. And the only answer that the Federal Reserve has, and the way I feel sorry for them, they're riding a tiger. The only answer they have is to generate more paper currency. As the system begins to contract, as the implosion of the system becomes apparent, what they want to do is to add more currency to the system to keep essentially pumping up the balloon. They don't want the balloon to contract, because if it contracts, the economy could go into depression situations such as the 1930s. The other side of that coin, though, is, as everyone knows, if you keep pumping up a balloon, at some point it bursts. And in the monetary and banking field, when a balloon is pumped up to the bursting point, you have what's called hyperinflation. The value of the currency in a very short time depreciates to nothing. And eventually no one will take that currency anymore. Germany is a good example of this. Happened in the 1920s, especially 1923, about 6 months in 1923, from, say, June to the end of November in 1923, they completely destroyed the German currency to the point that no one would take it anymore.
Well, of course, they did that in Rhodesia.
Well, they're doing it now. Right. That's right. Now, Rhodesia's a third world country, all right? We can look at Rhodesia, we can kind of shrug our shoulders, or countries like Bolivia, some of these other countries that have had these experiences. But I like to come back to Germany because even after World War I, Germany had a bad experience in World War I, Germany was a country full of very sophisticated people. Scientists, philosophers, musicians. And you had the cream of the crop intellectually, certainly in Europe, in Germany in that early 1900s period. But that didn't stop that country, nevertheless, from going down this road of monetary insanity. I think it has very little to do with the intelligence level of or the sophistication of the people in society. It becomes more or less of a mechanical process. Once you begin to have these wheels turn, there's a logic in the system that drives it to this extreme unless you stop it. I like to think of it in the same way one looks at a roller coaster. You know, you're going up on that roller coaster, up, 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 very, very slowly, and at almost any point on that upswing, you can stop the roller coaster. But once it gets to the top, and once it goes over the tipping point, it can't be stopped. Gravity takes over, and the thing must go all the way to the bottom.
Yes,
and these monetary systems follow that same logic.
Yes, but then what happens to the people who have, you know, their investments, their pensions, their bonds, their annuities, their bank deposits in dollars?
Well, those people are in for a very rough ride.
And I really think that's really what's important. Congressman Ron Paul, in 1957, pointed out between 1971 and 2005, we had increased the amount of money in circulation ninefold and the debt 12-fold. I mean, imagine what that does, you know, to the value of everything. But your money is progressively decreasing, and you haven't seen anything yet.
Ted Anderson from Light of September 5th, 2007, gold 680.70 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $702.47, $346.55 for half, $173.28 for quarters. That's $702.47, $346.55, and $173.28.
The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market, and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, and that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Vieira was simply pointing out that there is an article, you can find it on the internet last year. It comes out of the St. Louis branch of the Federal Reserve Bank. It's written by Dr. Ketlikoff of the University of Boston, Boston University. And in essence, this establishment economist says the America is bankrupt. I mean, there's no way we can pay off the $60 trillion or so that we owe. And certainly the people are not going to act responsibly and raise taxes. One suggestion he has was a 33% sales tax. Wouldn't solve the problem, but it would put off the day of reckoning a little bit. And other people said if we simply raised the income tax to about 80%, everything would be just fine. I would be able then to meet all of our obligations. But who's going to work when they're paying 80% or so in income tax and Social Security tax? And we're talking about the little guy. How is he going to live? Well, of course, Dr. Vieira is simply saying that the Fed only has two alternatives. One is to simply continue inflating the money supply until the whole thing collapses. The other is to contract the money supply and create a serious depression. And, of course, that would be very unpopular for the politicians. The people would be furious with the politicians who deprive them of their homes, of their cars, their jobs, and everything they've worked their whole life for and their pensions. So where do we go from here, Ed?
Well, my own view is that we need to have an alternative in the works and working. Because even if, imagine that you had someone such as Dr. Ron Paul, Representative Ron Paul, elected as president, you can't change this system overnight from the top down. Economically, it's simply too complicated. You simply can't repeal the Federal Reserve Act and declare that all Federal Reserve notes are no longer to be used as currency. I mean, that's the unit that's used for pricing. You have all sorts of contracts out there in the marketplace that are denominated in those units. It would generate economic chaos. Whatever changes are going to be made have to be made gradually over a reasonable length of time to give the market the opportunity to equilibrate. So what I have been proposing over many years, and I'm not getting a very enthusiastic response, but I think it's the only realistic alternative, is to go to the states because of two things. Number one, it might be possible to pass some of this legislation in particular states. And number two, the legislation has a certain, what shall I say, experimental nature to it, and it would be better to try it out and work out all the bugs in one or two states than to attempt to impose this nationally. But go into a particular state and have the state begin to use silver and gold currency as part of its own fiscal operations for taxing and spending. Not 100% initially, maybe 10% or 15%, so it would have 10 or 15% of its income, of its revenue, would be in gold and silver, and it could require certain classes of taxpayers to pay in gold and silver without a tremendous amount of difficulty. And then it would pay out that 10 or 15% to whomever of its creditors asked for it, first come, first served. And I imagine if that kind of a system were set up, two things would happen. First, as more and more people saw the instability of the present monetary system, the creditors in that state would be coming to the state asking to be paid in gold and silver. Then the state treasurer would have to come back to the legislature and say, we need to increase our gold and silver tax base. And I don't think slowly, I think fairly quickly, you would see the entire fiscal operation of that state driven by the market to a gold and silver basis. And then within the private economy of that state, the same effect would take place because people who are paying taxes into the state obviously are receiving revenue from their business activities within the state. And if they're going to be paying taxes in gold and silver to the state, they're going to be asking their customers and their suppliers and so forth to pay them, and eventually you'll see the whole state economy driven in the same direction, private economy. Then a third thing will happen. if that state has a sound monetary system in place, working through its government so that you know we have stability, political stability there, capital from outside of the state will look at that state and say, that's a much more advantageous place to invest than these other states that are still tied up in the fiat currency system. And you will see the prosperity of that state be increased because of inflows of capital. So you have all of these forces of the free market working to direct the system correctly.
All right, fine. We'll just hold on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Dr. Ed Vieira, who's certainly one of the primary thinkers, people looking for a solution to what many people feel is really an insoluble problem. And that is the ultimate destruction of our system. We're going to have to get back to gold and silver or see everything destroyed.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com. Or call 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
I'm Bobby Lightness with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cotton candy at the fair, collector stamps, and bubble gum. Sticky things that are good, but a stuck accelerator is no joyride. When I come back, I'll tell you how to slow things down.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Cindy. Wow, this is the second time I've seen you at the gas station this week.
Ah, the life of a soccer mom. I'm always gassing up.
If this is the story of your life, make your next oil change a change to Royal Purple High Performance Oil. Royal Purple can reduce fuel consumption by as much as 5%. So go to royalpurple.com for a dealer near you.
Royal Purple, the performance oil that outperforms.
Life in the fast lane. Yep, when your accelerator sticks, you really feel out of control. To get back in the driver's seat, turn off your engine, shift to neutral, and pull off the road. Be aware, power brakes and steering become manual, so stopping and turning require more muscle. Can you drive your car? Depends on the cause. If it's a wedged floor mat, yes. But more likely, it's a broken spring or bind in the throttle linkage, which requires you to slow down and call a tow truck. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com. Today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest has been Dr. Ed Vieira. And before we go on, Ed, would you like to get your website out, your books, or anything else you'd like to mention where people can get your writings?
Well, for my books, you can go now to Amazon.com. Edwin Vieira, Jr. I have a number of books there. Latest one, of course, is on constitutional militia. I have another one dealing with the problems of judicial supremacy. There are some old copies of Pieces of Eight still floating around. We don't have any more of the printed version now, but shortly, I hope, By the end of the fall, we will have a CD version of Pieces of Eight, searchable CD version, which I'm sure a lot of people will find useful. And if that particular one does well, then probably we will come back with another printed version of it. People who want to read my writings in short forms can go to newswithviews.com, and I'm there in the contributor list on the left-hand side of the homepage, and they can find everything that I've done archived. Thirdly, for those who are interested in the proposal that we've been discussing for gradually changing the monetary system over from fiat currency to gold and silver, people can go to goldmoneybill.org. One word, goldmoneybill.org. And that has a version of a bill that I drafted for the state of New Hampshire. And they can see the, at least the structure, how that would work. And obviously it could be reformulated for essentially any state in the union. It was done for New Hampshire because I happen to know some legislators up there who are interested in this subject. And we're certainly trying to generate some interest in that legislature. The difficulty with this, Dr. Stan, is so few people, I don't care where they are, common people, people in state legislatures, people in the media, people in business, don't understand this problem. There is a tremendous amount of ignorance, and I've been out there trying to educate people on this since, oh, I don't know what, the middle 1970s. So it's probably 30 to 40 years worth of involvement. And the great difficulty that I have always faced is that so many people, first of all, they don't have a background in any of this. It's not taught in schools, certainly not in high schools or in your general college curriculum. When you go into specifically economics courses, you're going to be told how wonderful the Federal Reserve is, how scientific and so forth, and so you're going to get all that jargon. Not going to be told the truth of the matter. Obviously, politically, it's not brought to people's attention. Who besides Representative Ron Paul is out there questioning the Federal Reserve as a legitimate institution? Essentially, no one. And there's our difficulty. You can't have political and economic reform until you have a sufficient amount of public education. We have to have the grassroots behind this. It cannot be done by the top down. It cannot be done by elitist intellectuals, if I may give myself that bad label, right, but writing books. We have to have the people at the grassroots, common Americans, real Americans, if you will, pay attention to this, realize what's happening, come up with essentially the pressure, to use a better word, the pressure that needs to be imposed on their own legislators to change this situation soon. This is not something where we can wait for another generation. I don't think it's something we can wait another 10 years.
No,
it's coming now. It's around the corner. This is a horror story that's coming to your neighborhood soon, if you will. And we need to start taking action immediately, if not sooner.
And then, of course, we notice that the Federal Reserve Board has stopped publishing the M3 figures. And, of course, for our listeners out there, it's sort of the total amount of money and credit they're putting out. They don't want the American people to know what they're really doing. And, of course, what they're really doing is just pouring out money and credit. And, of course, that then is reflected in inflation down the line 2 or 3 years. And as they gradually inflate, you know, our currency, they destroy its value. People don't understand. I mean, certainly many of our things have doubled in cost in this last year, despite the fact the government insists it's only gone up 2 or 3%. And I always like to say to my listeners, are you going to believe what the government said? Are you going to believe your lying eyes when you go to the gas pumps and realize that the price of gasoline has certainly more than doubled in the last 3 years? And then how can you only have, 2 or 3% inflation?
Go to the supermarkets and keep a record over 3 months or so of your typical grocery cart per week. My wife is constantly coming back and regaling me with these interesting calculations. And it has very little to do with what we're told by the official propagandists of the system. And once again, it's not simply the fact that the money is losing purchasing power. It's that the effectiveness is that the average person is losing real wealth. Their financial position, and especially their financial security in the future, is being systematically subverted by this process. Because I don't know very many people whose incomes actually keep up with inflation. Obviously, if we had a system where our incomes were keeping up with inflation, inflation would be an interesting phenomenon, but it wouldn't hurt us. The reality is, most people, or a very significant number of people in this society, have incomes that do not keep up with the increase in the money supply, and the result of that is their real wealth decreases.
And of course, the tragedy is that the older people, you know, who are no longer working, and think they have enough money to see them through their golden years, find that every year the money that they put aside loses value, and if it's invested in bonds, it goes down because of the inflation. If they've invested in almost anything, it's progressively losing value. And so if you were to live to be 80 or 85, you might very well find that you'd be running out of money. And people, and especially now that we see the value of the homes beginning to drop and drop sharply.
Well, there's the consequence of the bubble. You say that the system drove up these prices unrealistically without comparison to their real market worth. And so prices of $600,000, $700,000 for homes were not justified by the economic reality. Of course, it's the inflation hides the economic reality until at some point down the line, the free market will out. Right? Reality does reassert itself. Truth is really out there. It's not simply what you believe. It's really out there. It's objective. And eventually it comes back to bite the system. And now, where I am, certainly, there are these $600,000, $700,000 houses. They can't sell them for $500,000. And it will get worse. Because a contracting system is one in which people lose confidence. And they will refuse to buy. They will refuse to get into the market because they're anticipating that it will fall further and further, and that's a self-feeding phenomenon. As soon as that bubble starts to contract, people will stand back and say, well, I think it's going to contract further, and of course that will cause it to contract further, and you drive the system in the direction of recession or a 1930s-style depression, and that's what the Federal Reserve is afraid of. And therefore they will try to pump more money into the system to reflate that bubble, or at least to keep it from contracting. And then, does that make it any better? No, it simply prolongs the agony. And it makes the final collapse worse. That's why I say they're riding the tiger. I mean, if I were in the position of Mr. Greenspan for years or Mr. Bernanke, I mean, I would wake up at night screaming. Because I really would not know in his position what in heaven's name I could do but to hold on to the ears of that tiger and not get off.
Well, of course, Mr. Greenspan got off and turned it over for Mr. Bernanke, and I think Mr. Bernanke is going to, be in very, very serious problems, because if he raises the interest rate, he tanks the economy. If he lowers the interest rate, why, he undermines the value of the dollar.
Right.
And he's not in a position, no matter what he does, he's going to make the situation worse.
That's right. He's got the seesaw. I think what he will have to do is to increase the money supply. I think his only solution from a political point of view is going to be to watch the Federal Reserve note be destroyed. That's happened again and again and again in history, because politically it's easier to go that route than it is to accept a depression. Depressions are extraordinarily destabilizing. Look at the 1930s throughout the entire world, and the consequence of the 1930s, to a large extent, people say, well, it was World War II. They gave Hitler in Germany, of course you had Mussolini, and all sorts of instability, and the next thing you knew, you had World War. So I don't think anyone wants to see a depression. People in the Federal Reserve certainly understand the danger, and the easy way out for them, because they have the mechanism to do it, is to generate more and more and more currency, as Professor Kotlikoff said, by monetization of treasury debt. That's what's happened in the past, the country after country. I think he lists a number of them in his article. So we certainly have a precedent for it. It's the politically easy way out, and it's one that most people don't understand. That's the important thing. They don't understand it, and so in essence they will let the politicians and the central bankers get away with it.
Well, now, of course, this is not simply an American phenomenon. The whole world is on a fiat money system.
That's right.
Each one competing with the other one. You're going to try to, of course, get their currency lower so the goods become more competitive in the world market. But, of course, what that does, of course, is drive up the cost of imports. And so the Chinese and the Japanese don't want that to happen. They want their economies to prosper. In fact, it seems only the American people and the American government are willing to sacrifice the well-being of our people to try to manipulate this, the whole world monetary system, and to build up the economy of other nations as we unilaterally destroy the value of ours by transferring our manufacturing to overseas, by transferring our jobs overseas, by opening our immigration so that people can come in who are highly trained to take jobs away from Americans. And eventually, of course, I think we're going to see much lower living standards here. And at what point do you think the American people will wake up, Ed?
Well, I don't know that they will. Who can predict that? I hope it's soon. Of course, you've raised another interesting point here, that what we're seeing in the monetary and banking field is tied in to this plan for globalization. North American Union here in the Western Hemisphere. We already have the European Union in Europe. They'd love to set up something equivalent to that in Asia if they could get the Chinese to go along with it. But certainly that's part of the process, this lowering of American living standards and building up of foreign economies. They need to essentially level the playing field, economically speaking, so that they can bring these different countries into some kind of coordinated global system. Obviously, look at the North American Union concept, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Well, Canada and the United States, economically, socially, culturally, I suppose they could be merged as a practical matter, leave the legalities aside. They could be merged without a great deal of difficulty. But as soon as you bring Mexico into that equation, now you have a problem, not simply culturally and politically. I mean, they've got essentially a gangster government down there, but certainly economically. And I can see why, in order to achieve a North American Union, they need to have massive immigration from Mexico into the United States. They need to have massive transfers of capital from the United States into Mexico so as to create some level of uniformity there. But, of course, what that means is drastically lowering living standards for Americans within the United States. We'll end up with a hemispheric union, but it will be a hemispheric union that will have been homogenized such that Americans have been brought quite a bit lower in their living standards. I don't think that's what the American people want, but once again, we're in a situation that what percentage of Americans have any idea this is going on?
Well, the thing is, does it really matter what the American people think? It would appear that the people in positions of power have their own agenda, and they don't really care whether the American people would object to the loss of sovereignty, to the loss of the wealth, to the loss of their jobs, to the loss of their lowering their living standards. The people who control both political parties seem to be intent upon lowering the living standards of the average American. Oh, they won't do it all at once. It'll be just a little at a time, so gradual. Most people won't realize what's happened until they awaken one day to find themselves impoverished and living in a land where very little freedom still exists.
Well, I agree that is certainly the situation. However, this country's legal system still retains the American people as the sovereigns. We are still the electorate. We are still in a position, if we're willing to take the bit in our teeth, to gain control of our legislatures in the states first, I should think, and then eventually in Congress. And under our system of government, we have legislative supremacy. Not the courts, not the executive, not the president at the national level, but legislative supremacy. And we are capable, we the American people are capable, of regaining control over our legislatures if we will simply put our minds and our backs to it, fundamentally. I think that's our real problem. We have an educational problem, and we have a problem of apathy, people who are shrugging their shoulders, well, nothing can be done. We have a problem of sloth, people are simply too lazy to do it. We've got a number of these difficulties, but Americans have overcome those problems in the past.
Well, that was, of course, when they really still valued freedom. But, of course, how many people are quite willing to give up their freedom for security, for comfort, for the promise that the government's going to take care of them?
Well, but, Dr. Stant, from what we've been discussing here, I think anyone would draw the conclusion that the likelihood that Americans are going to maintain security from the policies that are now being implemented in Washington approaches zero very, very quickly. This is no longer a situation where you can give credibility to a politician who's promising you, as Franklin Roosevelt did, freedom from want and freedom from fear. We have plenty to fear, and we're going to have increasing want in this country in the next few years, and the solution to that is, number one, stop believing political promises. Number two, change the composition of our legislatures. Number three, implement policies that at least gradually can bring the monetary banking system back into coincidence with the free market.
Amen to that. Well, I certainly agree with everything you say. We've just got to get the American people to be willing to take a stand to try to preserve this heritage of freedom that we have inherited from generations past. And that's why I do what I do, and I know that's what you, why you do what you do. Well, our guest today has been Dr. Edward Vieira, and of course, if you can go up on newswithviews.com, that's newswithviews.com, and he's listed as one of the regular contributors there, and certainly you can go to that site and just click on it. It'll take you to all the articles he's written. His book, Pieces of Eight, we recommend to you. If you really want to understand how this fraudulent monetary system works, one of the things that really intrigues me is some of the internationalists are talking about the necessity for a global currency, a privately issued gold-backed currency that, of course, they and their elite friends would issue. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that even they recognize the inherent weakness of the present system, and they're looking for some alternatives, too. Also, they don't want to, be blamed for everything that happens. And to a certain extent, some of this propaganda that's out there is of an I-told-you-so nature. So if the system does come down, they say, well, we gave you an alternative, and you know, Congress and these foolish politicians didn't accept it. But now we're going to be able to offer it to you in a new currency called the Amero. That's the term that they've bantered about.
Hold that right there.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutraMedical Report, here on Genesis Network Read After Alex Jones, 2 to 4 p.m., Monday to Friday, and Sunday, 8 to 10 p.m. I introduce the remarkable wellness solutions every day on the NutraMedical Report, and Super Silver is unique. With three remarkable technologies patented at the U.S. Patent Office November 14, 2006, including Tetra Silver Oxygen Nanoparticle Size and Scalar, Rife Type Technologies, It is unparalleled in terms of its killing capacity of all known pathogens, including high-path avian flu, flesh-eating bacteria, Lyme, etc. Clear your body of hidden microorganisms that cause illness and prevent progression to disease. You can order at 888-212-8871 or securely online at NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com. That's 888-888-212-8871. We also distribute in the U.S. and in Canada, as we have a Canadian supplier. So listen to the NutriMedical Report every day, Monday to Friday, here on Genesis Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly if you'd like the simplified approach to understanding the monetary system, let me suggest a little pamphlet we wrote, The History of Money, and then my talk on Financial Tsunami, and it comes with what I think is a very, very good syllabus. It will help you to understand these concepts of M1, M2, M3, and why the government doesn't want you to know what they're doing. Because they're increasing M3 at almost 14%. The last estimate is 13.8%. That means that down the line, your money is losing 13.8% in value every year. And right now, inflation's running about 11%. But they don't want you to know that. And they're simply lying to you. And the books, of course, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and Fiat Money, Inflation in France, three very important books. And then, of course, my talk on the financial tsunami, the syllabus goes with that, and the pamphlet on the history of money. You need to understand what's happening to our monetary system, and you need to begin taking action now to protect yourself, or you stand to lose everything you've spent your whole life working for, and the value of your pension and your investments will simply become a remembrance of things past. Let me mention we are having an all-day seminar on the 28th of October. That's a Sunday because so many people can come to that who couldn't come on Saturday. 28th of October, and if you're going to come, please give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're coming from across America, well, I will be glad to go ahead and send you the address, how to get to where we are. And, of course, if you need a hotel, well, you have until the 28th of September, 28th of this month, to get the reduced prices at the Seacliff Golf, pardon me, Seacliff Hotel there, motel in Aptos. And, of course, the program will be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. So should be a great time. And then, of course, we want to remind you, if you're going to try to lay in a supply of emergency food, don't put it off. Right now you can get food that's not genetically modified, but increasingly more and more of our food is genetically modified. And it is, of course, many of it is seriously poisoned. And then, of course, the shortages, progressive shortages in many of our products that are out there, and talking to the people who are putting these packets together, they're having difficulty getting a good, healthy food. The prices are going up, and of course, if there is an emergency, you're not going to be able to get any of these things. You need to have your emergency food and supplies and your water barrels and your water pumps and certainly your food grinders. All of these things are listed in our emergency food catalog. If you don't have a catalog, we'd be glad to send you one. But if you do have a catalog, do not put this off. And whether you get the things through Radio Liberty or elsewhere, at least take action and beginning make plans. Get the books we have on civil defense. Nuclear war survival skills. And of course, if you get the book, you can get it for $10 a kit, so you can build a radiation meter. The video sheltering in place. The book making the best of basics, and we'll be having lots of other things here. If we actually carry the book. Inside the Red Zone, written by a former Soviet military officer, who has a list of all the things that you should have on hand. You need to begin making preparations, because The government has no preparations for you. In fact, they've specifically discouraged the production of anything that would protect you from radiation sickness or dying if there were a nuclear attack. And you have to ask why. They have the things to protect themselves. They have the things to protect the high government officials. They have shelters for them. But, of course, anything for the general population. It's almost as if they really didn't care. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com.
I need to do something about my dry heels. After a pedicure, they look great. Then I have to go right back again because my feet get dry so quickly.
Haven't you heard about Calex ointment? I use it regularly on my heels, and they stay looking great. And my feet feel as good as they look.
What's that name again? Wait, I'm getting my pen out.
It's...